Instead of building yourself to be a great somebody, you're only getting the attention of many people for the sake of the devil. And he's using you and he's infiltrated you. And then when you pervert their attention, you being the blind, if the blind lead the blind, they all fall into the ditch. At the end of the way, they dig the ditch and you fall into it. And they dig the ditch for them and all of them falls into it. And they cover them all up and that's the end of it. And then on the other side, you stand before God because of your foolishness. But if I take the inner man, as Paul said, though the outer man die, yet the inner man is renewed day by day. If I take that inner man, you're not going to see him wither. You're not going to see him age. You're not going to see him fail. He's going to get greater and greater and greater and greater and greater. And one day you're going to look and he's going to sit down in the throne with Christ. The Bible said, he that overcometh shall sit down in my throne with me. And I'm going to let him rule with a rod of iron and he'll break the nations like a man with pottery. I like that. I like that. So that's why that I made the exchange. That's why I made the exchange. And the world out there, luscious looking, you know, and they say, them bunch of ignoramuses, you know, don't do nothing. A bunch of do-nothings. Don't want to watch TV, and they don't, unless it's virtuous. And they don't want to do this, and don't want to do that, and don't want to go to the ball games. And the Bible said, and they think it strange that you run not with them to the banqueting of the world and their frolics and their parties and their games and all this. They think that's strange. But see, folks, they say just a bunch of dead people. And they're right. Not really dead, just asleep. They're not right to the extent that we're not dead, we're just asleep. Jesus said, I'll go wake Lazarus. I'll come. I'll go wake Lazarus. See, we are asleep. But the reason that we're asleep is we're not a bunch of night owls. See, they that be drunken in the night, and they're drunken off of the cares of life. And see, it is from evening until morning, and we're waiting for the morning. See, we're just resting, that's all. We're just asleep. And one day these members will wake up. These eyes will begin to see, and these ears will begin to hear. And my, what a day that will be. When my Savior I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. What a day that will be. So that's why that I chose what I did. And I'm sure that that's the reason that the others have chosen what they have. Folks, I'm alive. I am a living, alive Christian. That's the only kind there is anyway. But I'm alive. In God, I'm alive. Somebody said, man, I just got to go down to the beach. I just got to do this. I got to get away. You know, I know the body, you know, it builds up. It's like I said, the body will build up and you have to get a little time off somewhere. You know, the nervous system. But I don't have to go to the entertainments of the world. I don't need Six Flags. I don't need to pop a gun. I don't need to do them kind of things. I'm satisfied in any state I find myself. I'm contented. I've got something on the inside that's not restless, something that's eternal, something that's continually satisfied. Jesus said to the woman at the well, you done married, you done got all kind of men, you've done went wild with your passions, you done lost your balance. You're slept out of control. And all because you can't find peace. Said, but I'll tell you something, woman said, if you'll just take a drink of this water, he said, you won't be thirsty no more. You won't be whoring after the things of the world anymore. It's like I was talking about building up. We kind of get off sometimes, you know. We want to get our nervous system settled down, and everybody's entitled to that. Even Jesus did that. And like I say, you know, we used to have the old steam cookers of women. Steam cookers that blow up with you. Well, men and women are like that. They build up. They get under pressure. You know, like I told a brother this morning, I said, it's better. We don't like to hear people rave and go on and say things, you know, as they do to me sometimes. I mean, they really plow my field. But it's like I told them, I'd rather listen to their pop-off valve, you know, let them get the pressure out than for them to just blow up in my face or haul off and sock me, you know. They just keep on building up and building up, and after a while they'll smack you. So God's give them a pop-off valve, and he lets them just kind of pop off and let the steam out. And you just have to listen to, you know, the noise of the pop-off valve, and sometimes you have to smell the odor, whatever it is, whether good or bad. It depends on what they got in the pot. I know that we need a little time to get away and relax. You know, but I'm contented. I've got the inner man. I don't have to follow after the things of the world. I don't have to look for them things. I'm happy talking about Jesus, thinking about Jesus, being with Jesus. Just think, Jesus. Now, you sit down and you count the times that he went to places like Six Flags. And I say that they got all kind of flags, 9 flags, 2 flags, 4 flags, you know, everywhere. But in our area here around Atlanta, it's called Six Flags. You count the times that he went hunting so he could get away and rest and pacify us, see if you know. And you count the times that he had to get off and make himself a few thousand dollars. And somebody said, well, it was a difference. What was the difference? Like Vince, you know, Jesus was a man just like I'm a man. He had to eat. He had to sleep. One fellow run after him one time. He said, I'll go with you. The Lord said, will you? Or that was in general the terms. He said, go with me. He said, well, the foxes, they have a hole and the birds have nests. He said, but you're talking about going with somebody that don't even have a place to lay his head. He said, the Son of Man don't even have a place to lay his head. And you're going with me? I don't have any food to eat. I don't have any income. I don't have nothing. And I'm despised and rejected of men, so I don't expect to get no followers to support my ministry. He could have said that too. He said, my reward is Calvary, hurt and pain and misery, hunger, so that yours will be a day of joy and bliss. See, count up those days. He said, well, I ain't got nothing to do with it, Brother Pike. Well, he said, follow in my steps. Isn't that what he said? Follow in my steps. Where I am, my disciple, they'll be there also. Follow in my steps. Isn't that right? And didn't the Bible say, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus? Didn't the Bible say, cast down every imagination, every thought? Bring into subjection to the obedience of the word to the Lord Jesus, that it be not you living, but the word made flesh living. Paul said, it's not me, but said it's the word that's living. If you're going to be just like him, then that means that some of the ladies are going to have to put on a few garments that's a little longer, because when John saw him, his was down to the ankle. And if they're going to be just like him, if the men's going to be just like him, it sounds like they're going to have to do a little something as to alteration, as to what they call entertainment and a time of leisure to relax. And if the church is planning to be like him in general, it sounds like they're going to have to get a renewing of their thinking and get some different thoughts. All right, let's read chapter 9. I'll talk with you a good little bit here. Maybe I'll exhort you just a little. I wished it was where that we could, you know, really just, you know, when you get good and hungry, you hadn't eaten any breakfast. You get good and hungry and you think, boy, I want this meal. Brother Pike, let's preach and boy, let's do it, but let's get it over with, you know. And let me get on out there to the restaurant because I just got such an appetite. That salad bar, I tell you what, just Brother Pike, let's work together, Brother Pike. And that's good. But I wish we could kind of get to the place, Brother Alec, you know, where we'd say, well, I am hungry. But I believe that we could work together in a greater way. That if I stay longer, you'll get more hungry. And you get more hungry, your salad bar tastes twice as good. So see, let me work with you like that. Instead of working with you the other way to kind of shorten things and letting you hurry on off. Wouldn't that be better? Right. See, you'd get a double potion. You'd have a double appetite. You know? I find it hard sometimes to eat my salad bar and eat my steak too. I'm so hungry when I cut in down on the salad bar, I eat so much of it that when the steak comes, it don't even look good to me. Especially a lot of places. Okay, let's read this together. Chapter 9, folks, I'm talking about. You know, I'm just trying to be a fellow with you. I'm just one of the fellows. I love you and I appreciate you. But I'm trying to get you to stop and think just on a human level. Stop and think. This is a great dynamic thing. This is the greatest thing that's ever happened since the world ever was. And I know that because I'm already in it. I'm already partakers of it. It's already in me. I've already moved into that world. That's where I live. That's my lifestyle. That's my way of doing it. I'm happy. I'm here. I'm not trying to get there. See, and I know that, so I'm enjoying it. It is something to me. But I'm standing, you know, at the door beckoning, saying, come on in now, folks. Come on in. I run to the door and I say, hey, like Brother Branham said, come on over to my house. You know, and then I get back in there and I sit down to that beautiful meal and I say, come on, share this with me. Now, I preached the last sermon. I kind of exhorted you a little bit. Who knows what I preached the last sermon? Somebody raise your hand and tell me. Goodness gracious, Lord. You mean ain't nobody in this whole building? Brother Jimmy, what did I preach? The knowledge of His glory. Somebody say praise the Lord for Brother Jimmy. My, the church would be in bad shape if God hadn't left somebody, wouldn't He? Speaks of Sodom and Gomorrah, if God hadn't left Jesus for a seed, my land's been no root for a seed. We've been in bad shape. The knowledge of His glory. I wonder how many understood the greatness. Now, not the greatness of my sermon. You know, sometimes people misunderstand me. Like the other night, I made a statement. I said, don't you feel greater than John the Baptist? The Bible said that he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than John. I said, don't you feel greater than John the Baptist? I said, my, I feel greater than John the Baptist. You know, and I know, boy, that done it. That put me under the guns. But now, see, what I mean by that, it's not that I'm great. We as natural people decrease in our outer man, as John said, so that the inner man as Christ might increase. Isn't that right? Though the outer man perish, yet the inner man is renewed day by day. See, because the outer man's under the law back in John's day. But we're talking about the kingdom of God now, folks, and the increase. God, Paul said, I plant, Apollos watereth. We all got a job. He said, and God giveth the increase. And we're talking about the increase. Paul spoke of the increase. You know, you pay tithe off of your increase, not off of what you make. God isn't expecting anything out of this body of mine. I say, here, Lord, I'll give you part of this body. He says, away with it. I don't want it. The fruits of the ground is decaying. That thing come from the dust. You can put it back in the dust. From the dust there you came to the dust you go back. Keep your tithes and everything. I don't want it. See, because that's under the law. He don't want that. See, that's gone. He doesn't care for that. All of that's just problems. That's the heart of stone. But now, folks, when we get on the other side, this is not the decreasing of the law to be folded up and laid away. This is not looking from beginning unto the end. This is looking from the end to the beginning. And see, our man on the inside is an increase, and he expects tithe out of that. He expects that inner man to give forth. Now, I can say, Lord, I'm like the fig tree. I can't give nothing. I can't give nothing. So then the Lord said, you're under the curse of Adam. You've withered up. You can't produce because you're under the curse. And you're dead from the root. Because Adam is the root of it. The whole tree's dead. John cut it down. And when he cut it down, he didn't say, I'm going to lay the axe to the tree. He said, I'm going to lay it to the root of the tree. Jesus cursed that tree. It died from the roots. See, so this old thing is dying. You know that. How do you understand what I'm saying? So he doesn't expect anything. You get up in the morning, you say, Lord, I would do something for you, but I'm so weak, Lord. See, but the Bible said some live longer by reason of strength. And when you find that strength, that's what counts. See, that is to say, the outer man is dying. He's dying, so the Lord, he pities him. But when he gives you his Christ on the inside of your heart, and he gives you the super strength, then you are a superman. You're no longer a man. A man that's got God on the inside is a superman. I've said this a lot of times. You pick up the little comic you read about Superman. God would have never had a comic with Superman in it. He'd have never let them thoughts come through a human mind to do that. if it hadn't been a type of the church speaking to people on their childish level, so that in the day of judgment they can't deny that the knowledge of the Lord is everywhere. And when you get that on the inside of you, you are then a Superman. Now, like Clark Kent in that little comic book thing, you know, you might stay on the reporter side of life as the watchman on the wall to see what you say when he calls you or when you're approved of him. And you might have on the bodily garment as it was with Clark Kent, you know, in that thing, the garment that you wear might be an earthly garment as to, you know, knowing a person after the flesh or the human part. But you just remember any time the anointing of God comes on you and the inspiration of God comes on you. Like David said, I run through a troop and leaped over a wall. When that inspiration begins to billow and you feel relative to that planet that you came from, Paul said, not me living but Jesus. And Jesus said, I'm not of this world. I came from heaven. And you know, and you begin to be, instead of that natural man of yours, you begin to lay aside that garment, and especially at Thessalonians chains. All of a sudden, you're that great Superman. And the Bible said you can have whatsoever you say. You just say, hey, mountain, get out of the way. That's the way Superman does it. You know, that mountain's gone. See, so you got to admit that when you have that strength, God expects you to give him. He expects you to labor for him, to work for him, to surrender to him, to give to him, to tithe to him, because you've got the ability. You've got the strength. You've got the faith that overcometh the world. And he is going to listen at you. When he comes by and you say, no fruit, he ain't going to listen to that. I tell you, like I told the brethren, when the Lord comes by my place and he says, I want some fruit, I just say, you know, I say, oh my God, I'm trying. I'm trying, Lord, I'm trying. I'm trying. You know, I don't know what he's going to get, but I say, I'm trying. Like the little bunny, I might not be able to do it like the big hen, but I'm trying. I'll give you whatever. You know, and a lot of times in a church, they have a church, and you see a bunch of babies, and you go in there, and they're just a bunch of babies, even the preacher. You know, but when the Spirit of God comes, they do more maybe than they do at Bethlehem. Because they'll just jump up and down and holler and run the benches, run all over the place. At least they're trying. You know, they're trying. I'd rather go by out here and see a bunch of children jumping rope and shooting marbles and having a good time. You know, and stand there and watch them than to go into a house somewhere down here where people are supposed to be mature and they're supposed to be grown up and they're supposed to be wealthy and they're sitting there, you know, like they're people that's sitting up with the dead. Hadn't you? They ain't doing nothing. They're just sitting there like dead folks. They don't have nothing to offer you. You knock on the door, they say, come in. And you go in and say, what you doing? We're enjoying ourselves. Just sitting around chewing the rag, just like any old bunch of goats, you know. But they ain't doing nothing. I like to be alive. I'm alive. You know, I'm not a goat to chew the rag. I'm alive. I'm not somebody drab, dead, can't move, can't go, don't want to go to work. You know, God is a living something. That's why the children of the world wrestle, fight, box, run, play ball, do all these things. Because they are alive. They've at least got a temporal life. Somebody said, well, that's the way it is, Brother Pike. I want to play ball. I want to hunt. Sure, why not? You say, well, are you telling me I can do it? Why, sure. Full steam ahead. Do all you want to do. The Lord said, go on, Balaam, do it. Have a good time. So then, well, what are you talking about, Brother Pike, if you're going to be alive and you're going to do these things? And I'm talking about getting some steam inside, some power inside, getting some life inside to go to church, to study, to pray, to fast, to travel around the world, to publish the gospel, to go out here to set a tent meeting, to get on the corner and say, hear ye the word of the Lord. You know, yea, thus saith the Lord. Or him, somebody up on the corner, you know. And don't just say, you know, you go down here and say, somebody said, who are you? Oh, I'm a Christian. Come to our church. I got to go now. Not that kind of thing, you know. Somebody says, I'm a Christian. We got a great church. Somebody says, well, let me talk to you about it. I can't right now because I got a contract. I got to make some money right now. And I'm on the job. I'll see you sometimes. And I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about forget about your contract, forget about your contractor, forget about your prestige, forget about your business. I don't care where you're at and who's there. If the president's there, if your boss is there, and God gives you a chance to witness and tell somebody about God, you do it. And when you start talking about God, and the boss says, you know, he looks at you kind of startled because he never heard that before. Say, praise God, boss. Yeah, that's the way it is. I'm a Christian. Let me tell you about Jesus too. Just say, I just never did get around to it before. And now's the opportunity. And stay. So I said, but Brother Pike, you know, he's liable to fire me. I'll tell you, happy days. I'd love to have it on my record that I was fired for Christ's sake. I sure would. Happy days, especially if it's a great job. You say, but my job's great. The greater, the better. I'd love to have it on my record. I was talking about the Lord one time on the job, and this boss come around, and man, he really got on to me. I mean, he made me feel so little among the people. And I was young in the Lord anyway. And finally, you know, he just tore me up so bad, I didn't hardly know what to say. And the other men, they were cursing, they were drinking, they were frolicking. This was a regularity. I never did hear nothing, you know, I never did hear him say nothing about it. And finally, I just kind of withered up. And then something struck me, you know, and it got a hold to me. And the more I thought about it, the more upset I got. And the more upset I got, the stronger I felt. And I got him and I said, now you see here. I said, you let me tell you something. And boy, I tell you, there was bold, as always timid. I said, I'm going to talk about God when I get ready to talk about God. I said, on your job or anybody else's job. And I said, and if I can't talk about him on your job, I won't work on your job. I said, these bunch of men with their dirty mouths sit around here and talk and curse and go on. You know, I couldn't understand why he didn't favor what I was doing. He favored what they were doing. But see, I found out he was a drunkard. A whoremonger, everything. You know, that's why he was. That's what he was. That's why he come down on me to keep God off of his job. Two or three of us won't talk about the Lord. But you know what? I walked off and left him, and it wasn't long. He was a big operator. It wasn't long before he withered up like a prune. Lost everything he had. So see, somebody said, but if I do that, Brother Pike, I'll lose my job. No, you won't. You'll take over the contract. That's what you do. You don't lose your job. So you take over the thing. That's the way you do it. Like the Hebrew children. Daniel didn't lose his position because he talked about God. They throwed him in the fire and it kind of done him like they did me. But when he began to get his strength, he got out of there and he took the place over, become the third ruler in the kingdom. That's the way to do it. Just walk right over him. If you've got some hypocritical boss up there that's a religious hypocrite, tell him. If you got somebody that don't want to talk about God and they don't love God up there, tell them. And when they rise up and they stir up the wise men against you, just pray. Believe God. Use your faith. First thing you know, God will throw them all in the lion's den. And they'll say, who rules this place? I do. That's the way to do it. All right, let's read this. I ain't going to get to preach to you because I don't talk too much. You know, most people, they don't ever get to do nothing for God because they talk too much. They talk too much about themselves and they talk too much about things and they just talk. So when it comes time to do something about for God, they ain't got nothing. My wife gave me a warning this morning when I left. She said, now, don't you go up there and talk everything out now. Said, you wait till you... She was telling me, you wait till you get to church and then you preach a sermon. But what I did, I didn't go talk everything out, but when I got up here, I talked everything out. So I about talked the time away. But you know, the good part about this kind of talking is that you talk about Jesus the whole time and you're getting the job done the whole time. That's all Jesus ever did was talk. No record where he ever opened the Bible but one time. You know, and he was the Bible. He was the Word. Everywhere he went, he was the Word. Day or night, he was the Word. And a lot of times I start talking to you, the Lord allows that. That catches the devil off guard. Because the devil's sitting there, you know, and think, you know, I listen at him. Now, when he starts preaching that Word, see, and before you know it, the devil's been cast out and the man's free and he's done got caught up in the things of God and he's enjoying it and he's wanting to hear more and he could care less about the devil's probe. So the Lord does that sometimes to help the weak. But I do want to read just a little scripture and I'm going to let you go. And then after we gather tonight or whenever, maybe I'll get to talk to you a little about Revelation. My heart was filled up with Revelation this morning, and I wanted to bring out some things. I brought out a few little things in our thoughts here, but I wanted to bring out some things. At night, sometimes night services, it's hard to do because we eat, we get full, we get drowsy, we're not alert. Our mind is not free, it's not hungry, it's not thirsty, and we get robbed. So in the morning service, it's so good if I can get to you with the revelation. Chapter 6, book of St. Mark, and he said unto them, verily I say unto you that there be some of them that stand here which shall not taste of death till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power. That's all I'm gonna read right there. But I want you to think that over, and I know this is Mother's Day. I want you to think that over, Dan. Think that over. You know, we're all waiting until we die so that we can do something for God. Or so we can be something for God. And God will then make us something. He'll pick us up out of the grave because he knows we're Christians. And we've been faithful. We ain't done nothing, but we've been faithful. That is, we've been faithful to eat and drink and go on and do our thing. But I want to tell you something. The Bible says here that some of you ain't going to taste of death till you see the kingdom. That is, some of you are going to see the kingdom before you taste of death. Does that sound logical? Does that sound right? That's what I believe in. I'm part of those people. And that's why I preach what I do. The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom has been preached, and men press their way into it, and it's obvious that if they can get into it, then they can see it, not by observation. He said to the Jews, you don't see this by observation. No need to be looking for it. You say the rapture, you can forget about that in the way you're going. He said, the kingdom of God don't come by observation. It's within a man. He said, but it's here. Since John, he said, it's here. It's here. And he said, some of you are going to see it before you taste of death. He said, you're going to see it. So then, if you want to see it, then that means we got to get into the knowledge of the glory. Let's stand together. That was a short sermon, wasn't it? See, didn't hold you back from your appetite or nothing. Just working together with you, just run right in, hear it, and go out. You know, the devil don't like me. How many of you know that the devil don't like me? You know why he don't like me? Because he don't understand me. He can't figure me out. The carnal mind, you know, they put you under a microscope, or they run you through the field of chemistry, or they put you somewhere. If you don't fit in chemistry, you know, in the chemical world, well, they go back and they run you through human physics, and the devil, he can't place me in the realm of human physics because I'm not of the flesh, you know. He can't understand me there, and he wants to define me by chemistry, and he can't figure that out because the Bible said you're not to know any man after the flesh. You're not of this world. You've been chosen out of the world. And he can't get me into the definition of the chemistry world, and he gets all frustrated. He gets confused, and he thinks sometimes for sure he's got me. I've figured him out. I know what he is. I'll pin him down. I'll get him like Jesus. About the time he thought he had him, they hemmed him up. He's going to throw him off of a mountain. I've been right there to that mountain where they're going to throw him off. And all of a sudden, he just passed right through him, and he was gone. He wasn't there anymore. He just vanished out of the mist. Glad to see the Bullards back home. I don't know where Larry's at today. I was looking for him the other day. Is he at home? Okay, Brother Larry's at home. Who'd like to go eat dinner with Larry today so he could fellowship some? Got some hands back there. Have to send a forerunner and let him know we're coming. Well, I tell you, Larry, it'd feel bad if all the church went home to eat dinner with him today. Tell Larry he better come to church and make it easy on himself. All right, so then we love the Lord and we're trying to work together. We want to be Christians and we want to love one another. Folks, don't be sad, don't be sick, don't be cast down, don't be afraid, don't give in to those things. We'll talk to you a little more about things that exalt itself against the knowledge of God one of these days. But be alive, be godly, be wise, wise women, wise men. On the trip down in the bus, David Paul was telling me that after giving them the disciplinary talk and giving them a little paper. He said that this is one of the finest group of people I ever seen. He said they're so well-mannered. They come in and out the stations, come in and out the stores. They use wisdom and understanding. They don't wreck. They don't come in like a herd of cattle. You know, they don't come in like some of these beatniks, men in shorts and women in ripped-down dresses and halters and whatever. And the boy, he comes in, you know, and he crosses his leg and throws it up on the table, you know. And the girl, she props up and she lays across the table, you know. And they go to all this kind of foolishness. How many just love to see them do that? I don't. It's sickening to me. If I'm in a place and I see that gain coming in, boy, I'm ready to get out of there. I'm ready to get out of there. It doesn't matter how many people come in. If I see them come in, you know, they come in and like a human being ought to come in. They come in pleasant. They come in love. They come in, they have a, you know, the great, wonderful, outstanding thing about Washington for Jesus. Like Cirilla, Marsh Cirilla said, I ain't never seen so many people in my life. And Marsh was used to preaching to them by the acres. But he said, I ain't never seen this many people. People were on the building tops. People were everywhere. People were way down the wing this way, way down the wing this way. All the grounds here slapped back over to the doors of the building over there. The police were so frustrated till they left their beats. But it didn't matter. They had what they called cops for Jesus anyway. They had their own policemen. But it was literally astounding as to the majestic way that that thing was carried out. And there were speakers that was as high as a two or three story building that ring out all over Washington. And they marched down, was it Confederate Avenue or whatever it is up there, some kind of avenue. Filled the streets. And so many people crossing the road till the police like to went berserk. He was comical to look at. But in spite of all of it, no one was hurt. In spite of all of it, the great gathering, when they left, the grounds, they said, was clean and nice. The people stayed in order crossing the streets. They fellowshipped. It was a grand, wonderful thing. And we passed out 100,000 pieces of literature to them people. See, why can't we be like that? Why can't we be orderly? Why can't we do right? Why can't we be tidy? Why can't we be a blessing and a reproach? Folks, listen, I'm going to close. Don't you women that wear long dresses, don't go around hanging your head like you're somebody from the backwoods, you know, because you try to be decent. Out there with that bunch of Jezebels running around half nude, and you back off and hang your head when that devil's walking along in front of you and she needs some clothes on. Don't you dare do that. How many of you standing in here would let a pig go by? You know that pig walk by slinging slop everywhere and you'd bow your head and say, good morning, Mr. Pig. You know, or a dog with the vomit running out the side of his mouth. You step aside and say, I'm sorry. You know. Oh, you say, Brother Pike, you slap beside yourself. Paul said, if I am, it's for Christ. I'm just telling you like it is. In the world, they say, tell it like it is. Jesus said, that's the way it is. They're pigs. See, don't you dare go out there. You are the first lady. And your husband is not just the president. He's the king of kings. And you're his queen. And when you walk out there, don't go out there snobby like the Jews now. You know, bless God, the bunch of dogs, don't do that. God will get you. See, that wasn't right either. That was extreme the other way. But you go out there like this. You know, there's a little saying, be kind to dumb animals. You go out there like this. Not with a mockery, but you go out there and when you meet them people coming by, don't be ugly toward them. You know, this is the thought you must have. Love and courtesy and respect. For them as the land of Esau, Jacob passed through. Don't bother what they got. This is the only reward they got. He said, now if they rise up and fight you, he said, take their land. I mean, if they call you to a duel, pull out the sword. And don't stop till the blood runs. Because the Bible said, cursed is the man that holdeth back his sword from blood. Like Brother Holly said yesterday, he said, man, I just love for them to jump on me. Said, and start saying something to me and find out about my religion. He said, he just loved to do that. Of course, there are people that love to sword fight, you know. But anyway, I'm just saying, you might laugh, but we got some men of war here. Don't you think there's not? Because I see them just that quick, they'll pull a sword on you. But anyway, I'm just saying this. See, let's go out there and let's respect them. But remember now, it's like the rich when they see the poor. The upper echelon, you know, now when they see the poor, when the rich sees the poor, then, you know, they feel just a little better. And they go by because they know they're poor, you know. Now, a person that is a fine person, like a dignitary, a governor, a senator, they don't look down on them because that's their bread and meat. See, they look at them people like, you know, fine people. I'm up here, they're fine people, I got to watch after them, they don't understand. They don't understand, and they're my bread and meat. This is where my money comes from. See, they're the garden I'm reaping from. They're the flock. And that's the way you do. When you go by, you look at them, and you realize that you're the dignitaries of eternity, that you're the great sons and daughters, you're the kings and queens, a holy priesthood, and that those people out there in this world, they are the meeting bread of this world. When you pass by the banker, you be nice to him, but you realize that he's like a little child. He don't understand that he's just playing with his toys. They're called the children of the world. You know, men, the difference between the men and the boys is the size of their toys. Ain't that what they say? See, so they're playing with their toys. And when you go by, you realize that and you respect them. Doctors and lawyers and the professional men of the world, as well as all the others, you respect them. Because, see, they can't help it. If a man is a beast, he can't help it. See, by predestination, he's the beast. A dog can't help because he's a dog. A horse can't help because he's a horse. The Bible said, can the thing that is made say to him that made it, why hast thou made me thus? If God made me a son of God, I didn't have nothing to do with it. If he made you a son of God, what did you do? The Bible said the works was finished from the foundation of the world. If you've got the love of the world in you as a proof that you are a beast, what are you going to do about it? You know, you're going to eat. You're going to go after those things. That's going to be your desire, your ambition. You're going to want prestige, and you're going to want the things of the world and all these things, these frolics. You're going to want them because your appetite calls for them. You can't do nothing about it. It's the nature. But if you've got the nature of Christ, you'll be about your Father's business. You'll love heavenly things. You'll want to feed off of spiritual things. You could care less about that. Now, you might find yourself out there like it was with Esther. You might find yourself in a high place. You might find yourself among the dignitaries. But that's because the gospel has to go to them too. You just be a channel to carry the gospel right on to them. And what God gives to you, you carry to them. And you'll make a greater society. Because it won't be long before those that are out there that are the predestinated, you'll get to them and they'll be changed. Or God will be putting new ones in as it was Esther and taking the old out. And the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of God and of His Christ. And you'll be one of them powers of preeminence in the high places that shall rule and reign forever and ever. But if you go after the slop, you're going to be counted a pig. If you lap your vomit, then you couldn't be nothing but a dog. How do you understand what I'm saying? So don't go out there with an old bag on. You couldn't picture the president coming along, you know, in an old bag and his wife in an old bag. How could he ever be a dignitary? Now, you might find him in common clothes sometimes. You know, you might go over to his house and he isn't up at the office. And you go out there and you say, hey, man, look, that guy ain't got a, he doesn't have a town anymore. Say, no, it's because he's feeding his pigs. And he put on his jeans. Because he's afraid the hogs might sling slop. That sounds reasonable. He wouldn't put on his tie. He wouldn't put on his suit to go feed his hogs. Bankers have pigs too. How many know that? They love to mow the grass. They love to get out and just be natural folks. I've caught them like that. And of course, they're so down to earth that I've had them say, Brother Pike. They shut the door and say, Brother Pike. They want to talk about Jesus and want me to pray for them. Like them dignitaries down yonder, the senator, the congressman, Supreme Court, the leaders, the lawyers, the great men. They wanted that prayer. They wanted that blessing. When I lay hands on them, I said, Lord, this man is in a high place, oh God. Lord, he needs wisdom. He needs understanding. He needs you to stand with him. And say, oh God. Lord, and he said, Brother Pike, are you praying for the senator? Sure, don't you remember when we advised the senator and told him what was going to happen here in the States? You remember what happened? Now, they say, but Brother Pike, you laying hand on him and talking about he ain't got wisdom. And now see, don't insult them because they're great men. They give great responsibility. Usually fine men in that place up there. In between is where you find the culprit. But anyway, see, I pray like that because I'm a son of God. I'm a son of God. I'm made to rule and reign on a throne forever. These are my subjects. That man, even though he might be a senator, he's just a beast. You know? And he's over the beast. Like God made Adam, said, be over the beast. And he fell from the garden to show that that part was a beast. Taken from the dust thou art, to the dust thou shalt return. But the God part, as to the image in which he was made, God didn't do away with that. That's still here to them that can believe. Them that come through Calvary. A lot of revelation in that. So see, I pray for him and I pray with all godly sincerity because I love him, I appreciate him. If you had a dog, that dog would become dear to you. It can become like part of the family. A horse, you know, you just love your horse. And like Mac cried when his horse died. So we had a little old chicken in the family, a little old bitty tiny bitty. That thing becomes so dear to us when we was poor folks and still poor folks. It's got a lot more poor folks traveling with us. But anyway, traveling around, you know. Like that, I had that little old chick. They had that little old chick, that little old bitty. I can't remember what they called him. But when that little fella, we got into an old dilapidated house and they poisoned it for the roaches and he got a bite and he died. I tell you what, it looked like that everybody in the family just about had passed away. My kids was bawling. And it hurt me so bad when I look at my kids and I think about the little old bitty till I was just about to bawl too. Over a little old chicken. So see, that's the way the Lord feels. That's his bitty. That's his little bird. That's his sparrow. You know, the hairs of your head are numbered. That's his. His substance is precious to him. And when I pray for that senator or the congressman, whoever, it is tear them all to pieces. They just get tore up. I say, oh Lord, help this man. Father, this man is under pressure. He's got pressure from every side. This man is a dignitary. He's in a great place. He's got the eyes of the people. He's to be respected. And the Bible said, give honor to whom honor is due, to obey the magistrates. And I said, Lord, help him. God, come into his heart. God, change his life. God, fill him with your presence. And Lord, bless him with your blessings. And I tell you, they just literally eat that up. They just melt like a little child as if say, bless me. Bless me, Brother Pike. Bless me. See, like we go over to India, I've had them to run and catch me. Before I could ever get to this, up to where I was going to preach, they'd be pulling on me and just grown-ups and all kinds. They'd say, bless me, Father. Bless me, Father. See, because they know that whosoever you bless is blessed. And whosoever you curse is cursed. They've been taught that by the priesthood. See, in our country, it's just a bunch of wild renegades. They don't know where the blessing is and they don't know where the curse is. As far as they're concerned, they say, who are you to tell me? You know, and that's it. You say, look, would you like to have a track? You know, down yonder, you say, would you like to have a track? And this one starts looking and that one starts looking and this one starts reaching. You know, of course, we're supposed to be the polished. We're supposed to be the education. We're supposed to be the ones that know. The biggest bunch of heathens that ever lived. Getting worse all the time. Like I said, painting their faces like Indians. Everything. Wild, crazy, screaming, hollering, one breaking each other's neck. All kind of things. They're going crazy. While the Spirit of God lifts here and goes over there and them people become civilized, these over here are going crazy, going heathen. Educated heathens. That's the worst kind. Once you educate a man and he gets heathen, there ain't nothing left for him. You know, you used to take education, you bring him out of heathenism. But when he gets educated and still goes back to the pig pen, there ain't nothing left for him. I know. I know what you're thinking, Brother Pike. You was going to let me go. You just read a little bit and it was going to be a quick thing. We was going to get out of here. Now look at us. But if you want that double portion, you just have to wait till I dismiss you. Let's sing a chorus. I will let you go. There's a time for everything. Let's sing the chorus, I love him. Can we do that?
I love him.
I love him. All because that he first loved me. And he purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. I believe I got here before any of you got here. Remember that now. You know how folks will take up for themselves. I got here before any of you did. I was here and there were no doors unlocked. And I stayed and stayed and still was no doors unlocked. And I walked all around and checked Mac's work, the rose bushes and all around to see how everything was going. I come back over, still wasn't no doors unlocked. And I went back home. I stayed a while and then I come back. And when I come back, there were some folks outside the front, still no doors unlocked. And then after I sent after a key, I said, sure as the world now, they'll go get a key. And I said, sure as the world, I know the devil. He'll stop hindering. He'll stop everything. And here they'll come with the key. And sure enough, by the time they walked off to go get the key, I looked and across the field, there was somebody coming in a run with the key. He said, what caused that, Brother Pike? The same person that come in a run with the key would have been here a lot earlier. But Paul said the devil hindered me. See, Satan was hindered because he knew I wanted to get in and the people wanted to get in. Somebody said, well, you think God just held it up and then sent the man over? No, I think the devil held it up. And God didn't just send the man over. The man wanted to come all the time. He was heading in this direction. He just had to get the devil out of the way of the carnal reasoning before he got here. So I was here before you was. And that's why that I don't mind holding you sometimes. I was in service before you was sometimes. Sometimes when daylight breaks, I'm in service. And been in service for a while. And that's why I don't think it's such a horrible thing, you know, to get you to stand a few minutes when I feel the ambition of your flesh and knowing that I'm going to release you to do all the things that's natural and carnal. And not only have you give the day to God or to Satan as to begin with, you're going to give the rest of them to him then. As to the belly, Satan save the things that be of the world. So that's why I do it. You know, if a man eats, if he likes vanilla ice cream and he don't mind feeding other folks it. Today will be the first day of the radio broadcast in Pennsylvania at 1:15. Happy Mother's Day. Love you, Sister Sherry. Isn't that wonderful? Now, you know, I want to ask the same question about Sister Sherry that I asked about Vince. Isn't Sister Sherry a woman just like my wife? Just like Brother Randall's wife, and y'all keep these ladies under control now. And just like Brother Ron's wife, they might not like this when I bring us over to the woman's side. Just like Sister Frances, Brother Jim's companion, Brother Atlas' companion, Brother Richard's companion, David's companion. Now, let me ask you a question. Isn't she a woman just like y'all are a woman? How is it then that Sister Sherry can afford to pay the entire broadcast like Vince is doing? And you ladies can't even afford to even be a part of it, to even give a part of it. I know somebody said, well, I got the answer. She run her husband off, or she don't have a husband. You know, she gets all the money. But I'll tell you what, if you'll stop and think, when you run the husband off, you run the money off. What she did, she had to get a job and make her own living. And she's paying it out of her own living. Have I got that right, Betty? Somebody said, "But Brother Pike, if I do that, what am I going to do about my car?" I don't know. I understand that somebody brought her almost a brand new Thunderbird. Just because they like her work. I don't know. That's the way it works. She sought God's kingdom and she wound up with a Thunderbird. I tell you what, I'm just going to leave them few things to you and let you figure that out between now and the next time. Let's just lift our hands up. I'm not going to ask you to come to the altar. The offering, you've already done what you wanted to do. While you've got your hands up and your eyes closed, I'm going to ask David to come up if he will. And Brother David Lundeboe, if you will, come up and dismiss us. And while David's coming to pray, I want you to think this over now. It's a serious age, folks. People are dying. Bombs are falling. Two or three dreams or something that they fell here on them, the American people. Let's get away from corruption. Let's get away from evil. Let's get away from the worldliness. Let's come out from the world. Let's be a different people. Let's get that inner man and renew him. And let's be mighty in God. You can be a great, mighty Superman for God. I tell you what, you can do it. And I'm expecting you to do it, and God's expecting it of you.